It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
All right, welcome to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. It's Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
All right, Brother Jim is in the house.
Yes.
Wearing his Desert Storm garb. I have a Desert Storm hat, thanks to you.
Well, we'll see if we can get you some more of the official merchandise.
That polo rocks.
Just it was kind of transparent, wasn't it?
Red is good. No white. White makes me look like part of the Balloon Fest, but not a volunteer. And black is optimal.
Yeah.
That looks good. Anyway, Brother Jim is here as the co-host for Monday like he always is. And today is the day for the Chiefs, Dia de los Dos Jefes. And it is Monday, March 18th, 2024. Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling in the house.
Good afternoon.
Morning. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Chief Pete Palafis from the fire department.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Well, you've been on since Troy's been on.
Yes. Well, we had a break because of the holidays, and I think it's always planned that we're on the third Monday of each month.
Yes.
We get a roll of holidays for January and February, so you had an opening, Paul, and I took advantage of it to come see you.
I'm thinking you probably use Outlook, right?
I do.
Okay. Or do you have an assistant that does all that for you?
No, I take care of my own scheduling.
That's called recurring.
Yes,
it's a recurring date.
Yes, it's a recurring date.
All right, perfect. So, let's see. You guys know about this car show? Jim, do you know about this? Mustangs versus Camaros?
No.
Yeah. It's thanks to Blonzies. It's the ultimate show where opposites attract. Join us for our third annual show where the Fords choose the best Chevys and the Camaros choose their favorite Mustang.
Well, very cool.
This is a free event, no pre-registration, open to all clubs and lone wolves, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Saturday. Cruise the London Bridge this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And you probably can get one of the best breakfasts in Havasu while you're there at Blonzy's.
Yeah, but it's a ways to the bridge from there.
So, it is.
So I'm pretty sure it all gets underway. Not sure where they're rallying, but you might want to call Melissa or one of the staff over at Blonzy's if you're out there listening and want to participate in this as part of a car club or one of the lone wolves. And they'll get you all set up for that. But it is this Saturday, the 23rd, and then there's a spring swing golf tournament, Los Lagos Golf Club, this Saturday at 8 a.m., four-person scramble. Everyone welcome, and it benefits the Knights of Columbus Council 12690 in Laughlin. And you'll want to give Gabe a call, 760-217-0454. 217-0454. That's area code 760. I believe he lives in Needles. So anyway, that's at the Los Lagos Golf Club there. And that's technically Fort Mojave. So there you have it. Yeah. You know where the boundary line is, right?
No.
Boundary Cone Road. That's why it's a boundary. There you go. All right. So spring break, obviously underway. Triple A of Arizona saying this is a busy one for every spring break destination. Havasu seems to be at the top of the list as far as Arizona is concerned. Are you guys feeling it, Chief Chief Troy?
Obviously, we noticed the influx of especially the college students enjoying the good weather that we've had, but not anything abnormal from prior years. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago when we went to the – or when the colleges went to really spring break spread out over 5 weeks, it really cut down on the, you know, huge influx of that. So it's more it's more of a scheduled pattern now. We definitely have some people that took advantage of the good weather, but nothing crazy on our end.
So we don't have to burn down the palms.
We don't have to do that
anymore.
You remember those days?
Yes, indeed.
Wait, what?
Well, I think that was just part of the celebratory nature of practically any large
things
holiday
get a little
weekend.
Out of control, yes.
They thought they were at Burning Man.
Yeah, and would burn all the palm fronds off of the palm trees out there.
Right. Chief Pete's laughing, but it's no laughing matter, right?
No.
Fire enforcement wise.
No, not at all. It's not. But, I mean, I've heard the stories of how Havasu has changed over time, and I think it's great welcoming spring breakers to give them a break from school and learning. Enjoy, be safe, but just be respectful of our community. I think that's the most important thing to give that message out, is make sure you clean up after yourselves. So
right. Is that water patrols, does that affect them in the same way, or is it just pretty much business as usual for those guys?
Yeah, business as usual. We really just started our summer schedule for boat patrol last week. So those that are typically assigned, the community services unit is the ones that handle the Bridgewater Channel and our boating component of that unit. They really just patrolled the parks and helped out patrol with calls for service up until they changed schedules this last week. So now we're gearing up more for the summer visitors.
Anything you want to impart out there to the visitors that they might not know, say the mooring ordinance or something like that? You know, no overnight mooring, is that correct?
You got it, no overnight mooring. Thank you.
Okay, is that the only thing? No, that's in the channel.
That is in the channel, exactly. And I think some people get that confused, too. Our responsibility for the municipality is the enforcement of laws within the Bridgewater Channel. The Mojave County Sheriff's Office maintains patrol on the water, and we assist them in operations if needed. But, you know, like Chief Pete was saying, you know, be respectful of, you know, our town, pick up trash. Obviously there's alcohol violations with, not underage drinking. You know, just, it really is a lot of common sense type of things. The big thing for our channel is, you know, no use of the squirt guns, spraying operators of vessels, those type of things, because it is a safety concern, throwing of footballs, those type of things. We've had it in the past where, people trying to have fun, but it turns another direction when the operator of a vessel gets hit with a football in the face, you know. So, it's looking out for the common sense safety aspects of this.
Yeah, if I had a dollar for every time I was hit by a football, right?
Well, for you, I thought it was the beads.
No, I just catch the football. Gotcha. But that is a funny bead joke. Nice. So is there an operations plan per se for spring break, or do you still have the mobile command center down there? How does that work?
We don't. We typically only have the operations plans for the major holidays, and our command trailer will be down, stationed somewhere down there during that time. But no operations plans. It's typically just extra enforcement, trying to be in areas that we know we need to be seen.
Oh, I got a presence.
It's presence.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm seeing a lot of electric cars, hybrids, especially from out of town, you know, during this period. And I want to talk, Chief Pete, about electric car fires.
Sure.
Because it's a whole new animal, isn't it?
It is.
Where does the fire blanket come in? I've been hearing about this fire blanket.
So the fire blanket, that we actually have two of them. All our members have been trained. Really, the blanket is to suppress the spread of the fire. It's not going to put it out. It's going to smother it. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what we've seen just based on our research is the copious amount of water, foam that has to be used to put out the fire. So, but what this blanket does is it actually consume and kind of suppresses so it doesn't spread any further. There are, you know, procedures out there of actually digging a hole and putting that vehicle in a hole for 21 days to let it quarantine. because the batteries are always going to be constant, reacting until they're done with their fuel source. And it's a big concern for us. It's a hazard, especially if you have an electrical fire in a structure. There's just another factor that we have to deal with. But the blanket is just our precaution for if we can get it over to stop the spread of the fire.
Any research being done on a possible, maybe there's a chemical out there that we don't even know about that'll handle these types of fires instead of water and foam the traditional way?
Sure. And the thing is, I mean, that's just like when we use Special K for metal fires. And there's extinguishers that the dry chem, remember the all-in-one, the ABC, that can do class A, B, and C fires, and then we have the D.
Sure.
And the thing is, I think the technology or suppression for suppression is going to keep on moving in that direction. It's just like when we had boron steel and we had to have our jaws of life that was able to cut through that. So I think it's just staying with the trends and seeing what we could do. And this year we're going to take a really hard public education stance on reminding people about the lithium ion batteries just for your drills and stuff, of keeping them in a maybe controlled environment, but in the garage when it's 120, those are times that we've seen incidents of them of exploding because they're reacting in the heat. And the thing is, we've taken new outlooks is when we have those battery fires is we get like a 5 or 55-gallon drum, put water, and then submerge them to let them contain it and stop it. Don't put a lid on it, because you'll still have a chemical reaction.
You're like a pressure cooker.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's just letting it suppress in the water. So we're always looking at different ways that we can. I'll have to say, knock on wood, that we haven't had too many electrical fires here, but the presence and people coming from other areas, it's definitely a possibility, and we have to be ready for it.
No, that's good advice with those battery chargers. Yeah. We had a string of them last summer, I remember.
So we did. We had the RC. It's the RC batteries. The lithium ion batteries for your cordless
those
saws.
Those balance boards? I don't know what else to call them.
Yeah, well, the electric bikes, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's just depending on making sure that you're using the correct charging device for that particular piece of equipment that you're using. You know, you have these one-offs that you can just go buy and they work for a little bit of time, or they just weren't engineered for that particular device. So that's the biggest thing is we're just want to put public education. I think that's the biggest thing is getting the message out there that these are a hazard and they do cause fire. And we have a number of them last year that have caused a significant amount of fire.
It's really cheap. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Chief, do you use halon extinguishing?
The thing is, we really don't. I mean, our main source is water and foam. And we use a foam that is eco-friendly and is not so much encapsulates, but it actually puts a blanket over an area. And then it gets into the crevices, especially when you have all the void spaces at a structural firefighting.
What is eco-friendly? Literally eco-friendly?
Yeah, so there is a big push with the chemicals that foam was made up with. And it was kind of caustic and cancerous. And the thing is, we switched away from that stuff. And we don't use that much, the copious amount, but the thing is, it's eco-friendly, so it's safe for the environment.
Oh,
so
if eco-friendly.
Eco-friendly.
Okay.
If it went into the water system, that it's biodegradable, so it's not going to harm anything.
I got you.
So
that Chicago accent.
It
got
is
me.
The Chicago accent.
It got me. Got me for sure.
I wanted just environmentally friendly.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's take a short break. We're gonna play some country music, a little Dustin Lynch, small town boy, since we're all pretty much small town boys now. Right, Chief?
Yes.
All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with Police Chief Troy Sterling, Lake Havasu City Fire Chief Pete Palafis, and, of course, Brother Jim Russell.
Yes, indeed.
The wise man in the room.
Yes, indeed. That, too.
All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. That's going to be the perfect song to play this week, especially Thursday. We're looking at highs near 83.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Where did winter go? Oh, wait a minute. It never came.
Where did January and February go? That's what I want to know, right? Cool. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Patio Paradise by Just Meats. All the cuts, all the time. A locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City. By Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's Superior Maintenance Plan. And by our newest sponsor and Jim's favorite place for breakfast,
yes,
Blonzy Steakhouse, where steaks are just the beginning. They also feature the Prius, an all-veggie sandwich, and a pretty dang good chicken fried steak, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Not bad at all. And don't forget, we stream live in our show archives are at KNTRTalk.com, and I know we're streaming because Marissa June checks the streaming every day. Look at that. She's so busy.
Yeah.
She doesn't even look over when you say her name. You can see her in the production room there. All right. And, yeah, KNTRTalk.com, you can also get the archive there as well. And we posted about 12:15, so about 15 minutes after airtime.
Wow.
Boom.
Hot off the press.
You guys can catch it right after Rotary. How about that for a segue?
Yeah.
Yeah? You got Rotary today, don't you?
Yep. Every Monday we meet with our Rotary group and talk about how we can serve above ourselves and give back to the community. And we have such a great Rotary club. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yesterday I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast on my way to Mojave Valley, had a little bit of extended time in the car to listen in that, and lo and behold, it was with Dr. Phil, and I had to hear, I love his opinion on things, especially they started talking about defunding police, and we talked a little bit about this before the show, Chief Troy, and just his take on it is pretty amazing. I want you to hear his take on it before we actually comment. He thinks, let's let police officers be police officers and all the other ancillary, is that the right word?
It's close. It's
close, yeah.
All that other stuff that you guys have to deal with lately, it's kind of getting in the way, in his opinion. So let's see what Dr. Phil has to say.
Oh. You know what really drives me crazy about this defunding that went on? And, of course, I think everybody's decided that was like a either really bad idea or really poorly worded idea, either way. But, listen, the last thing you want to do is try to get police officers to wear three or four different hats. You don't want them showing up saying, okay, I want to try to be a social worker and a psychologist and defuse all of this and all. A police officer should show up and enforce the law. If not, people are going to get shot and killed. Police officers should show up and suppress illegal activity, disarm people that are a threat, and after all that's done, then fine. Bring in somebody that is a social worker or whatever, but you don't want a police officer doing all of that stuff. They're there to do one job, and that is suppress illegal behavior, disarm dangerous people, And they need to do it as quickly and efficiently as they can. They don't want to do all that. They got one job.
Right.
And they need to do that one job and do it very well. And they don't need people in there saying, well, you need to kind of talk to them, and you need to this, you need to that. I'm not saying be heavy-handed or badge-heavy, but they need to do what they're there to do and then let other people come in behind them and try to do all the rest of the stuff. You don't want a cop doing three different jobs. You want them doing one job, and that's suppress illegal behavior, get it under control, and then let somebody else do everything else.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think?
He laid it out pretty well. I think there's a lot of different components to that, but
yeah,
you know, trying
it's
to
a lot to unpack.
I mean, obviously there's a lot of training that goes into someone before they actually hit the street to be a police officer. And you know, there's a lot of skill sets that are important to doing the job. And talking to people is one of those, and it's a very important skill, because one of my things I always used to say when I would teach defensive tactics is your mouth can be your worst enemy or your best friend, right? And it's how you approach things. Yes, there are circumstances where we just need our officers to go out and stabilize the situation, and then, yeah, where are the resources now available? And we've come a long way over the years in being able to establish what resources are available to us. And so I think we, you know, we've moved in the right direction. You know, we always say that we're, you know, in a bubble here in Lake Havasu City. We still have those type of issues that are here just like everywhere else in the country. And the only part I kind of disagree with a little bit is we're part of this community. And I think that's where that small town mentality comes into play is, you know, as a law enforcement officer, I'm also a citizen of this community. I've grown up here. I've raised my kids here. I've coached kids' teams. And so there is more of that buy-in that is my expectation level from our officers too, you know, because it's not unheard of that you may arrest somebody today and you're going to see them at the grocery store tomorrow, you know, and so we have to, you know, always go back to the simplistic side of it is treat people with dignity and respect, and people most often will appreciate the fact that we're doing our job, right? And as long as we're being professional about that, you know, I know before we came on the air, we were talking about things that I think are important to us. Yeah, you know, law enforcement officers, we don't want to be paramedics, right? But we happen to be first responders, and so there are opportunities for us to be first on scene, which is why we incorporated the use of Narcan in our patrol cars. Chief Pete and I are working on bringing AEDs into our patrol cars. But that's twofold. One is that's also a tool for us to protect ourselves. You know, if our officers can be exposed to, you know, fentanyl and Narcan may be needed in those circumstances. Same with AEDs. You know, we may have a medical episode of one of our officers. And so having those type of tools available it makes sense. And so, and also like we've talked about is we may be that first responder that may help save somebody's life. So, yeah, there's a lot of hats that are being worn. We focus our training on you need to get there, you need to handle the situation, stabilize it, and then we'll work from there. So that's a basic, a good segue. Yeah.
Just is Dr. Phil's approach maybe a little too idealistic for this time?
That's a good point.
In our world,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
You were saying before the show, before you answer. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
True. Yeah, true. Every community is different, right? You know, I mean, we're fortunate that we live in, based on whatever poll you happen to read, but we're one of the safest cities in Arizona, right? And so you have to, you know, take into account that we're doing well on one aspect, and that's the enforcement, right? You know, a lot of that has to do with presence. It also has to do with community engagement. So there's other hats or other components to it. It's building those relationships, you know, within our own city to establish that. I'm a big proponent of, you know, neighborhood watch programs, the concepts behind that where the police are the community is the police, right? We're supposed to be working together. It's not just the police problem, right? It's a community problem. It's every citizen has their responsibilities, and we work together, we can resolve those things. Yeah, we're not always maybe going to agree, but as long as we're doing it with the right reasoning behind it, then we head in that right direction.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break. Sorry, Chief Pete.
No, I'm okay.
You're kind of learning something.
No, this is great. I just picked the right profession to be in the fire department.
Very good. Speaking of Neighborhood Watch, I don't know if you know this, Chief, but I'm one of the newest members of the Silent Witness Board.
Oh, nice.
Just been accepted.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No, I can't. I'm going to have to talk to somebody about that.
They didn't dive deep enough, did they?
That's very low standard.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's funny. You better talk to Steve about it, right? Steve Irwin?
He's
the chair.
Yep.
All right, back with more in a moment. Little One Beer. If you don't know this song, it's about growing up, having kids, and then they're gone. They grow up, right?
Yeah,
back with more in a moment. Brother Jim Russell's here, as well as Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafis. I'm Paul Lavoie. And, you know, I'm going to save those Diamondbacks tickets for tomorrow's show. I've got D-backs tickets for opening day weekend. Not opening day, but March 31st. It's a Sunday. I've got 4 tickets, but I'm going to wait till tomorrow to give those away.
Tantalize.
It's 13 days off, right?
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. We'll make that tantalizing offer tomorrow.
Yes.
Right.
The whole thing started with some mouth. One beer turns into a little cigarette, burning into a 2-tier bus. 3 beers turns into 5 and 6, then a love drunk kiss in the back of that truck. Just like that, everything rearranges. Life changes out of the blue. It's just a good life, but it ain't a funny one. One beer.
Kind of jamming today. Good suggestion, Chief Pete.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm
good.
Surprised.
Don't be surprised.
No, your knowledge of country. I thought you were more of an 80s rock kind of
guy. I got girls that ride horses. So.
Ah. Your daughters?
Yep.
They ride horses?
They do.
Where do they ride?
So they do the Gymkhana over in Sarah Park.
Nice.
October through March. And then they went to the Stampede this weekend. It was a little chilly. I stayed at home with my son. I feel like going. But they really, you know, especially being moving out here to Arizona in the West and have the exposure and have the environment.
Oh, cool.
So it's great.
It's the second time Jim's heard the word Gymkhana this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he asked me last week, where'd you get all this rodeo knowledge?
Yeah,
and I used to ride Gymkhana.
Oh,
yeah, I used to do the poles. And do you know what rescue is? There's an event called the rescue where you're standing at one end. It's like where the barrels are set up.
Yeah.
And your partner comes around and he rescues you, pulls you onto the horse.
Okay. Yeah, this one is for
and then you,
entry level. I mean, these are...
No, that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just like 13 or 14 when I rode Gymkhana. So, yeah. There's a little Jason Aldean. Good call, by the way. He's going to be in Laughlin, by the way, Saturday, September 21st, 7 p.m. at the Laughlin Event Center.
Wow.
Jason Aldean, big time, baby.
Okay.
Absolutely. Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere, a fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair by Springberg Wealth Management, Mojave Community College, Sun Power by Esme Electric, by SamsGuns.com, and by Jim's favorite, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006.
And the doggy wash.
The doggy wash, which is not a conveyor belt and a chain hooked up to the dog, by the way. That's not what we're talking about. But Jim's idea of a doggy wash.
Yeah, I think it would work.
That might be a million dollar maker there.
Perhaps not popular with the dogs, though.
You know, but it's hands off for the owners. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. And a few weeks back, I hate to pick on you, Troy Sterling, Chief Troy. We have Chief Troy and Chief Pete in the studio, by the way. There was a press release about reports of thefts from vehicles here locally.
Yes.
Is that still prevalent? You know, we hear about this every so often.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it's when there's a lot of people in town and they think, oh, I'm in a small town. I can relax my guard a little bit. And that kind of thing, or I don't know. Is it in neighborhoods? Is it in parking lots? What are we talking about?
Typically, you're right. We do have this. It seems like every year we have this once or twice a year, and it tends to be a group that gets together. Typically, it's, you know, late teens, early adults that, you know, they have this little group together, and they go out and they essentially go check car doors and look for means of opportunity just to enter in and steal items of value that are readily available. And so, yeah, with this last group, we had sent out some press releases. We ended up catching a group of individuals that were locals. And what I like to stress is, and I did this at the Neighborhood Watch Group meeting, it really is our job is to eliminate the opportunity piece. And so that's why the public service announcement is to just remind people, yes, we do have that small town mentality where we don't lock our doors on our homes, our cars. You know what? We need to remove that opportunity, take the precautions, lock our doors. Typically, we don't see the criminals busting in the windows to steal something, right? They don't want to bring that type of attention to them. Mm. But, you know, we're leaving our car doors open, and sometimes even the car, the keys to the car in there. And so that's where that opportunity comes into play. So we just need to eliminate that piece, and sometimes that is a huge deterrent.
What about fire incidents that we don't see in the paper? Is there a recurrence of any types of incidents fire-wise?
No. You know, actually, it's, again, the first of the year, we're getting through our first quarter and stuff, and I mean, the trend still seems like it's going in a downturn. I mean, the majority of what we do is emergency medical services. I mean, our 2023 report is out, our annual report. If anybody wants to take a look at it, it's on our website underneath our fire department, and it's really our story for the year. And we do this each year to give you stats, what we're doing, the highlights of the department, and what we've been able to accomplish. So, and we have the previous years too, since I've been here. So it's from 2020 to 2023. Just giving you to see the growth, what the city has gone. Look at the service demands that we have. But I mean, 2% of what we do is firefighting. Majority.
Two.
Yeah.
Just 2%.
Yeah.
My gosh.
The thing is, but it causes, you know, probably 90% of the damage, I mean, and the cost, especially when we have significant fires. But the majority is the emergency medical and service calls. And I'm working with ASU, and we're doing a study on assist invalids. And those are people that just kind of fall down, need assistance back up, and they give us a call. And we run about just over 100 a month, so of invalid assist. Yeah, so we're trying to find...
It's more than three a day.
Yeah, it is. And what we're trying to do is just find what the root cause of that through research and data and see what we could do with other community foundations in our area that can help us and assist us with this. And you would think it would maybe just be a central location, but when we ran the stats on it, it's actually spread out throughout the community.
Really?
But if you think about it, look at our demographics of the older adult population that we do have. And that's what we're just trying to find out, what can we do to make it better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important. I think, and I'm not going to speak for Troy, but police and fire, it's just not that we're sitting just trying to be reactive. It's looking at proactive measures of what we can do. And I encourage people to look at what not only the fire department, police department, but what the city does to keep us moving forward.
Are there other circumstances with those falls, say dehydration?
So I would say, Paul, it's more sometimes the environment. It's chronic medical issues that you're having, dehydration, overheating. But a lot has to do with can you take care of yourself, you know, when you fall? Or what are the contributing factors? Did you have a hip replacement? Are you prone to falls? And in the summer months, it can have an effect if people aren't hydrated, don't have air conditioning. I mean, but there's other reasons associated with it. And all we're trying to do is just find a better way to serve them.
So okay. Back to the annual report. Is that on your website?
Yeah.
Because I like it. It's got the red stripe down like a diver down flag, right?
Yeah.
So, no, but that's just a description for radio. You can check that out on the website. And I wanted to ask you too. I had one other question, but I'll deflect to Chief Troy while I go find it. exactly. What about school resource officers? Do we have those here in Lake Havasu City, and are they specially trained?
We do have two officers that are part of our community services unit that are specifically assigned to the schools. One's typically based out of the high school, and the other one's out of the middle school, and then they go to make appearances at the other schools. They do have specific training that is available, and that's one of our goals is to get them. I think it's the National Association of School Resource Officers. I think it's just something, and there's a certification piece that comes with that. So we'd like to get them to that, but we have not as of yet. And so typically our officers go in there. We like to put officers in there that have good people skills and be able to build good relationships with not only the administrators, the teachers, but the kids. And knock on wood, we have two great school resource officers. I want to give them a shout out. Justin Wilson's out at the high school, and Officer Jason Nutt is at the middle school, and they're doing a fantastic job. Yeah. But in addition, we also, most people know, we do teach the NOVA program, and we do have seven officers that take part in that, and that's a 12-week program where they teach fifth graders the NOVA principles, and so it gets additional officers into those schools, being able to have opportunity to mingle with the kids. So we're fortunate to have that.
What are the NOVA principles?
So nurturing, opportunities, values, and accountability. So
perfect. What about job openings, positions in the fire department, police department? Do you guys both have openings for officers, for personnel, civilian, as well as, you know, I don't know what to call them, active duty?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'll speak obviously on the fire department, is March 4th, we became fully staffed, and then for a short period of time, we have one opening, but we have it filled. April 29th, we will be fully staffed at the fire department.
Whoa, that's so, a big goal for you. I remember that.
And I shouldn't say it too loud.
You'll jinx it?
Yeah.
Well, we can knock on wood. But no, that was a big goal for you. The first time you were on the program, we talked about filling a lot of positions because of retirement.
Well, and we still have that pending retirement. But right now, as we speak, we have our fully staffed individuals. And it's important that, you know, we keep on promoting, and I've taken a new way of when I get an applicant, I actually personally call them. And my first
good
question,
good for you.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but it's been working. Is my first question to them, and I give them the disclaimer: this is not an interview, this is not a job offer. It's just like, why are you applying to Lake Havasu? What attracted you here?
Right.
So the thing is, and I've gotten great feedback, I point them in different directions, like, look at our annual report, look at our environment, look at where you want to end up. I mean, it looks great on paper, and is it going to be a great mix for you? So,
how many council meetings have you watched?
Well, exactly. I think it's important that you understand what you're walking into.
Right.
And I think the information is, Lake Havasu is very transparent when it comes to the information it's putting out there. But, you know, come out and visit. And we have some individuals recently came from Colorado. We have an individual, one of our deputy chiefs of administration, a new position, came from the Valley area. So it's – and just kind of give them the good of what Lake Havasu has to offer. And it's really about community. And this place is wonderful. I always say I wake up in heaven every day here because it is paradise.
We're going to have that deputy chief on the show.
Yeah, we are.
Next month.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. And
not during this hour, though.
No, this is Troy.
Yeah, we don't want to cheat on Troy.
No, we don't want to cheat on Troy.
Exactly. What about the police department? I know you've got officers that come over from other departments. Is that called lateral?
Laterals, yeah.
Okay, laterals.
We've actually been very successful in that the last few months. So kind of give the listeners an idea. So we're budgeted for 84 police officers. That's from the chief on down, right? We currently have five vacancies, and that's with one lateral that just started today. He actually came to us from the Valley area for family reasons. We have three that are currently in field training, and then we have three that are in the police academy. So we have seven of those filled positions that are still in essentially training, right? On the dispatch side, we currently have 3 vacancies, but that's also with 4 in training. So we're still, that's still one of our big areas of struggle. We're just at 50% staffing level, so that's still tough, and that's an area that we've been working on trying to improve upon. And then the other two, we have 1 detention officer and 1 records clerk available, and we're currently in the interview process going on.
Oh, very good. Very good. Jim, did you have a question? No? How bad is the need? You know, we hear the talk about the second bridge. There's a bridge feasibility study recently where the public was invited, and we're talking about the second bridge now that there's fully fund, you know, it's fully funded thanks to Representative Leo Biasucci and Sonny Borelli and John Gillette. And how do you both feel about the need for a second bridge to the island? We'll start with you, Pete.
Oh, I appreciate this. I've gotten this question. The need has already been done. It's going to be built. It's a project now. The thing is, the funding's been secured. It's going to be a great addition for the potential development in the island. So I think we've already identified the need. It's now a project. Now we have funding the community outreach that the city has done, the consultant that with, so there's no longer the need. It's a project. It's going to happen. It's just finding what best fits Lake Havasu City. So right. I mean that's my take on it. Will it be an addition to give us another access point to the island? Yes, it is. It needed for further development. The thing is, the need is gone. It's a project, and I look forward to seeing it get built.
Where would you like to see that access point before we turn it
somewhere
over
on the island?
I'm talking about from the mainland, if you will.
I think it's just right where they projected it. I mean, you've been
off London Bridge Road.
Yeah. So. It's just having that another access point. So wherever it fits for our city.
Okay. I'll take that for an answer.
Yeah, thanks.
What about you, Chief Troy?
Man, he said it very well.
Yeah.
I don't know how to follow that.
You're not getting off that easy.
obviously, it's been a topic of conversation for many years. And I think with the, you know, potential projects that are forthcoming on the island, it makes sense that, you know, it's probably time to get this done. And you know, have we been able to manage over the years with what we currently have? Absolutely. And we will continue to do that until the second one is built. But, yeah, I think Pete hit it the nail on the head. It's been identified as a project, and we're moving forward with that.
Yeah, I got Brother Jim here, and you're affected or impacted out there, obviously, because of the IJSBA World Finals. That could be a potential pathway for that bridge, or somewhere near
somewhere there.
Where would you like to see it?
Well, I don't know that I have any real preferences to.
But you do have an opinion as a longtime Havasuvian.
Isn't the generally favored idea that it would cross sort of across the end of Crazy Horse and
that
across
area,
the state
yeah.
park down by the end of the grass area?
Right.
Matter of fact, where we floated the bridge many years ago for tourism and put the World Finals pits in Windsor.
I didn't know
that.
And
we made a bridge and floated a bridge across the across the channel.
Right. Interesting.
You couldn't drive on it. I mean.
Oh, I got you. But
not twice.
So you don't think that would change your logistics at all with the World Finals?
I don't think so.
In that location?
You know, over the years, I've noticed that we create a little bit of a traffic jam at the end of the big days where people leaving.
Right.
And when the Balloon Festival was on the island, that was terrible at night when everybody was trying to leave island, and you could see the need for if were there an emergency, that would have been horrific.
Right.
So
well, finally we got about a minute and a half. Any hazardous waste days coming up or anything that you want to promote?
So yeah, we actually have our hazardous waste day, and I just want to make sure that I'll be back on before it is, but I want to say it is targeted for April 20th.
Is there a residency requirement for those?
Yes,
there is. Okay.
There is. And the thing is, identification is required, just like our last hazardous waste event at Station 2 on Kiowa. So it is April 20th. And it's between 8 and noon. And I think we're on before then, but we'll promote it again, and there'll be press releases out. And this is a great addition that we're going to have two a year. So we'll have this one, and then what's it? This is actually helping is just reducing the waste that's getting just out in the desert or sitting and becoming a hazard in your house. So come on down and get away. And obviously there's requirements for what you can bring in and the quantity. So we look forward to that.
Right. Chief Sterling?
You know, the only thing we have coming up is the Law Enforcement Torch Run, which is Saturday, April 6th.
Okay.
But no other sponsored events coming up. We've pretty much had our event season, and then we're just gearing up for summer and what comes with that. So, you know, just always the safety message of, you know, people like to partake in, you know, different events. Just be smart.
Right.
And if you drink, don't drive and have a designated driver.
Yeah, keep that heartache medication down to a minimum, right?
That's right.
All right. Little John Party as we go out. We got one more segment to go. Very short, but we're going to say goodbye to these guys so they can go to Rotary. See, you can't get fined if I mention Rotary in the show, right?
I'll get fined no matter what.
All right.
Good seeing you guys.
All right. Fire Chief, People Office, and Police Chief Troy Sterling. Thanks for being here, guys. We appreciate it. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Another dash to a country song, turning me on. Here's to a good time and halfway to feeling all right.
I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Brother Jim Russell says goodbye as well. We've got Sean Hannity coming up next after news and a short break.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.